If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio, and hope that you really enjoy this morning's show. I am bringing it to you from Northern California, high atop Donner Pass, which I, a few minutes ago, looked at the absolutely, while it's dark as can be, the silhouettes of the mountains. And what am I doing? You're saying doing a show from Northern California. I'm doing a show from Northern California because I'm going to be in the Sacramento Valley trying to understand what's going on with a lot of the water issues. On a continental basis, we keep hearing about the droughts in California, which has subsided somewhat with the major snows this winter. But overall, we're in a period of time where we are going to see ever-increasing issues over water and how we're going to manage water. And there's no place that has it in bigger issues than Northern California. So the Central Valley of California is where I'm going to be reporting from next week, as well as I spend the week understanding the water issues, which are some of the most difficult water issues in all of the world. And when it comes to waterfowl and wildlife, are absolutely critical to the future of us having abundant bird populations. As believe it or not, Central Valley of California is the largest wintering area and migratory corridor on the North American continent. So before I get further into that, I'm going to talk a little bit about, we had Earth Day last week. Some of you may have celebrated. Others of you may have let it pass. I'm going to talk about it in the concept of Earth Day, of course, coincided with the United Nations Climate Change Treaty and all the hoopla and all that's terrific. But from time to time, I also like to talk about what may be a little different view. And there was an interesting, although very, very little publicity given to it, group of people who are also world-renowned scientists who have taken the position, get the politics out of the climate debate, and let's get this back on a science and not a political platform. And the founder of the Weather Channel, a guy named John Coleman, he also served for 7 years as the original weathercaster on ABC's Good Morning America. And he wrote a very, very good op-ed on at least calling for science to be part of the discussion on climate change beyond just the politicization of it. And he wrote, he said, the signing of the Paris Climate Agreement, it causes an obvious change in the future for the world. He said it's an agreement that puts the United Nations in the driver's seat, not that it is an enforceable agreement, but it puts the United Nations in the driver's seat on governing what countries will do, or at least using political pressure, what countries would do. And we all know that we are the largest funder of the United Nations. And he asked, he said, the UN climate chief, Christiana Figueres, has called for a centralized transformation that is, quote unquote, centralized transformation that is going to make the life of everyone on the planet very different to combat global warming threat. And his question is, how many Americans are looking forward to the United Nations transforming their lives? And I think that's a great issue for us to talk about, not only as we frequently do here on the Great Outdoors Show, but on the overall concept of how we're going to manage for conservation in America and the world. We are moving ever towards a globalized economy, which does make some sense. We're moving towards a globalized awareness and action on pollution of water, our air, our rivers, which is a great thing. But at the end of the day, are we moving towards a world where the United Nations is telling America what it can and can't do. And then as part of the climate change issue, debate, the question is, what is the United Nations going to call for us as Americans or the world to do, and who's driving those issues? But one of the interesting things that's come out of this is that there are many scientists who do question the extent of climate change and man's involvement in it. And I'm not going to sit here on the radio and tell you that 95% of the world's scientists are wrong and that 5% or 10%, whatever the number, are right. But what I am going to continue to suggest is there always are two sides to every story, and that we should work hard to hear the views, even if they're a minority view. We should work hard to hear the views of people who don't necessarily agree, because they're smart people too. And if we only listen to the majority, we would very seldom have dissenting views change our minds. And that's really what's going on in the whole climate change discussion and Earth Day and everything that's taking place this year, is the dissenting views are being dismissed globally by the media and by politicians because we don't have 100% agreement on where the climate's going, because absolutely nobody knows. All we can do is do computer projections, and if we're off by 0.1% or degree, it's like if you're going to walk across America and you start off, your compass starts off 0.25 degree off, you're not going to get where you end up. And so much of what we do with climate change and the whole discussion is based on computer models, of which there are a lot of variables out there. And I think it would be really important, and this is what John Coleman and others are talking about, is let's look at the science, and let's look strictly at the science, and not have the UN politics involved. So there is actually a movie, which I haven't seen yet, but it's coming out. It'll be out tomorrow, in fact. It's called The Climate Hustle, and it's a film that I'm definitely going to see, and I have no idea, speaking to you this morning, if it's a good movie or not. But what it is a rebuttal, in a way, on Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth, which was this hyped movie, as you may remember, a few years ago, that came out about the ending of the world, and it was largely panned. You're not going to read much about The Climate Hustle, which comes out tomorrow, but it is a movie that I think will at least shed some light that there is another side to the story. And again, I believe fervently that we are having climate change, and I believe we've been having climate change since the beginning of time. I also believe that appears to be an accelerated period of climate change taking place, and I think that's absolutely irrefutable. What I don't understand is the actions that are being taken by politicians and non-science to try to dictate how we are going to reverse this. And we have to remember, the Earth's been around a long time. We're here for a blink of the eye. And is what is occurring now, is this going to be relevant 100, 150 years ago, 150 years from now? That I don't know. But I think it would be great if we continue to have an open conversation about what can be done rather than mandates saying this is absolute. So with that being said, I'm going to turn the page on climate change in just a moment. But before I do, I want to talk a little bit about the study that came out recently, which of course talked about, which makes a great deal of sense. If we do have climate change, then which parts of America are going to be the most threatened? And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, if climate change continues with the Earth warming, at some point in time, the sea levels are going to rise. So if you are living in coastal America, particularly in Florida or along the eastern seaboard and the Gulf Coast, you are going to experience much more flooding than you have before, and there are going to be large portions that would be uninhabitable. When this occurs, nobody knows. If it's going to occur, nobody knows. But it is a fact that if you live in the coastal part of the United States, you're going to have much more storm surge, you're going to have more flooding, and you could, in fact, have complete inundation. So this is 2016, and wouldn't it be great if I could sit here on the radio in 2050, when many of these predictions are supposed to have happened, and tell you this is what's going to happen, and then 2050, maybe my successor, hopefully the Great Outdoors show still on the air, will be able to say, back in 2016, Charlie Potter said the scientist said this. This is what actually happened. Who knows? I won't be around to judge that. Hopefully some of you will be. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN Radio. I'll be back in just a moment. First, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here, and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all-steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and I sure hope that you're enjoying the show. I'm going to switch from the discussion about climate change to talk a bit this morning about what is going on in California with the Fish and Wildlife Service, which, of course, has everything to do with politics. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm actually doing the show from the top of Donner Pass at the California-Nevada dividing line, state line. It's the only place where I can get reception in this wilderness area, and it is pitch dark here, so I'm on location, as I do from time to time. It's a great place to be. I can see the silhouettes of snow in the mountains. It's cold, and hopefully the signal holds up as I'm calling back into the studio. But what I'm headed to do, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is to go into the Central Valley of California and really spend some time with some of the best experts in the country on what's happening with water in California and how that's going to impact waterfowl populations. And so that's my great project for the week, and I'll have more answers for you next week. But in the meantime, California is in the national news because of what the Obama administration, and I say that not with bias, but the Obama administration through the Secretary of Interior, Sally Jewell, has forced the Fish and Wildlife Service to do. The Fish and Wildlife Service's primary responsibility, and the reason it was started, was to save North American waterfowl and wetlands and wildlife. And it was not really about big game. The Fish and Wildlife Service was started because of plummeting waterfowl populations and the loss of wetlands. And California is at the epicenter of this. So for over 100 years, we have been managing the wetlands of California for waterfowl and bird life. And all of a sudden, a year ago, the Secretary of the Interior says that Region 8, which is California, Nevada, and the Klamath Basin, no longer has as its priority managing wetlands and waterfowl. It is being shifted to the core programming to work on the growing demand for solar and wind projects in this region. Therefore, due to the lack of funding that the region has, work on waterfowl and wetlands is to be largely suspended, while the backlog of growing demand for solar and wind projects in the region are permitted and evaluated. This has caused, when it happened, it caused a firestorm, and the Delta Waterfowl Foundation last week really came out and said, this has to end. I'm writing a quote now. The Delta Waterfowl Foundation continues to be frustrated by the lack of progress being made by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife leadership regarding the traditional role for managing waterfowl and wetlands. It is totally unacceptable then, and even more so today, that waterfowl and wetland management in Region 8 are being put in the back seat behind solar and wind power generation permitting, end of quote. So the Fish and Wildlife Service has a serious issue on their hands. The continental populations of waterfowl and wetland-dependent birds are tied to the health of the Central Valley and the management of habitat there. But the administration in Washington, which has virtually, apparently, no understanding of the historical nature of why these refuges were created and who funds them, has decided they're going to take the resources and the manpower and work on green energy. That's not the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's role. That might be the Energy Department role. That might be somebody else's. But it is not the role, absolutely not the role, of the Fish and Wildlife Service to take the resources paid for through duck stamp sales, hunting license sales, and Pittman-Robertson funds and divert them to green energy at the expense of waterfowl and wetlands. And the Delta Waterfowl Foundation very succinctly said, "We appreciate the difficulty the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has every day to meet its historical priorities, while balancing them against new and emerging issues such as solar and wind development. However, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has a clear legal mandate and responsibility to manage migratory birds and to care only about renewable energy in the face of so many other challenges for wetlands and migratory birds is wrong, period. It shows a total disregard for the work and resources that sportsmen for generations now have put in to the strongest and most constituent-based funding group the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has, period, end of quote. So I'm not sure what the outcome's going to be, but right now over 2 million individuals are in an uproar with the Fish and Wildlife Service over their changing focus. And those 2 million individuals are individuals who support waterfowl management through their hunting licenses and through hunting activities. California is the epicenter of this battle. It's going to go on in other areas of the country, and that's one of the reasons I think it's really important for us as sportsmen and people who love the outdoors in the coming months, regardless of who the presidential candidates are, to understand what their views are going to be on the future of wildlife management in America. It's pretty clear that the Obama administration is not supporting the traditional roles of the Fish and Wildlife Service and is spreading them out and moving them into a direction which might be fine, with the exception the service has no funding to do that, does not have the expertise and skills to do that. People are not trained to work in wind and solar, and they are obfuscating their responsibilities to work on waterfowl and wetlands in California. And I think that that hopefully will end with whoever the new administration is, and why Congress hasn't stood up at this point through some funding mechanisms to stop the service from diverting these funds also remains an open question. But right now, as I speak to you this morning from the top of Donner Pass, looking down at California, I can tell you that things are changing, and they are not changing in a way that is going to be beneficial to the future of waterfowl and wetlands in America. We'll find out more after I get back on the show next Sunday morning as I move into the center of what is really one of the hottest environmental conservation debates in the country. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the show. This is Charlie Potter. I'll be back with much more on the great outdoors next week. This is the outdoor voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.